Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, our second Sunday of Easter, continuing on in the great celebration of our Lord's resurrection. If you are a guest or visiting here with us this morning, we're especially glad that you are here, along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder to please fill out the attendance cards you can find in your pew. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203 in our hymnal. We sing now the first hymn, 482, This Joyful Eastertide. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. The word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, like newborn. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may, by your grace, confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 1. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. After his resurrection from the dead, the Lord Jesus journeyed out of Jerusalem toward the village of Emmaus. St. Luke records this in his gospel, that Jesus walked along that road to Emmaus with two of his disciples, one whose name, we are told, is Cleopas. They were kept, though, from recognizing Jesus by his own power. Later, after they arrived in Emmaus and are sitting down to the dinner meal, Jesus took the bread, which was the host's job, gave a blessing and thanks to God, and then broke the bread and gave it to those two men. Then and there, the eyes of those two disciples were open, and they recognized Jesus. Immediately, he disappeared from their sight. And those two disciples in Emmaus moved quickly back down the road to Jerusalem and went straight to the 11 to tell them exactly what had happened. While they were all there, secure and locked in tight in the room where they were, Jesus came. And he stood right in the middle of them. He had already appeared to Simon Peter prior to this appearance, according to Luke's account, though great mystery enshrouds that appearance. John then confirms what Luke has reported, that Jesus said first and foremost to his disciples, "Peace be with you." Right away, the Lord Jesus shows them all his hands and his side. The marks of the crucifixion of Jesus still present in his resurrected body were the reasons for that peace. Even though the disciples of Jesus all turned away from him in his hour of distress, he still secured their peace for them and now offered it to them freely in the signs of his cross. Now, this makes the disciples glad, and they could then rest assured that all was now good and right and well again with Jesus. So Jesus had already accomplished so much on that first day of his resurrection. But there was still so much to be done regarding the mission of Christ into all the world. And so Jesus reemphasized his peace to those disciples. And then he added, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now, those are remarkable words. God the Father sending God the Son here into this world to save the world from all sin and death by his own suffering, death, and resurrection. That is powerful, and that is praiseworthy by itself. But Jesus then saying to his disciples that they are now being sent in the same way as Jesus was sent here into the world for a similar purpose is now taking it to another level. Jesus was now going to have his followers participate with him in the reaching out into all the world with the salvation that Christ had accomplished. After saying this, Jesus then breathed on his disciples, likely in the process of speaking to them these sacred words, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the sending of the Holy Spirit earlier in his upper room discourse to his disciples, that lengthy speech he had given them to them on the night before he was crucified. Jesus would then indeed send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he would open their understanding to all that Jesus had been teaching them throughout his ministry. That clarity in the understanding of the gospel would come fully and clearly on Pentecost, This acknowledges then for us that the Holy Spirit is certainly given at different times and for different purposes, but always through the Word. Anyone who believes in Jesus in any capacity, all throughout the Old Testament and now into this era, has that faith because of the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of Christ. This St. Paul teaches in Romans 10, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. This giving of the Holy Spirit was in direct connection with the declaration of the forgiveness of sins. Many Christians today are uncomfortable with the practice in the divine service of confession and absolution, specifically with the pastor's words, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins." Well, no one can forgive sins but God alone. The Pharisees rightly state when Jesus said that he forgives sins. The pastor speaking the words of absolution publicly, or any Christian speaking those words privately, is doing so by the authority of Christ. Jesus' giving of the Holy Spirit validates this proclamation and confirms that it is not the pastor or the Christian who is forgiving the sins, but the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking through that pastor or the Christian those words of forgiveness. So why? Why does Jesus institute this practice for his church? Why not go, as a lot of people think today, and just steer people toward the written Word of God that declares their sins were already forgiven by Jesus on the cross? Simply have that faith and trust in that work. And certainly, all Christians are directed to the Word of God to read there clearly that God is the one who has secured our forgiveness of sins in Christ. And that Word of God in Christ is truly enough. But as seen so regularly throughout the Scriptures, one such giving of grace is never enough for our Lord. He loves to give an abundance of His grace over and over again to all sinners. And He who is the Creator of the entire universe, the physical world, He knows that physical creatures are in need of physical and concrete experiences and means. Hence, the Lord Jesus attaches His word of forgiveness, life, and salvation to the waters of holy baptism, to the bread and wine of His holy supper. And in the absolution, the word of grace is spoken out loud with a real human voice to be heard in real time. It is as though Christ Himself is speaking through the pastor or the other Christian speaking that word of absolution, which Jesus says He is. Truly then, this is a great privilege and responsibility. No pastor or any Christian is to take this word of forgiveness lightly, as it is intended for the comfort and assurance of forgiveness for confessed sin in real time. It is to be practiced faithfully by Christ's church. That is to whom our Lord Jesus has given this great power, to His church. And the true church of Christ is to be the distributing point of that grace of God in Christ to all the world. And the marks of that true church are thus where the word of Christ is faithfully proclaimed and the sacraments rightly administered. Where those actions are happening is where the Holy Spirit promises to be working. The Lord Jesus gives this great power to His church, and it has been known throughout the church's history as the office of the keys. Matthew 16, Jesus states to Peter and to the other disciples that He is the one giving them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And as we heard at the end of our reading from Revelation, Jesus himself says, I have the keys to heaven and to Hades. So through the forgiveness of sins, where there is repentance, and through the withholding of forgiveness, where there is no repentance, the gates of heaven are either unlocked or locked. Each Christian can practice this office privately between Christians. You can thus freely announce the absolution of Christ to a family member or a friend who has confessed sin to you and is repentant of that sin. The church, as a body of Christians, has called the pastor to do the same work before the whole congregation. This is to avoid any type of chaos or disorder that would occur if every Christian on a Sunday morning attempted to speak the words of absolution or stood in the pulpit trying to preach a sermon or administer the sacraments here in God's house. It's truly remarkable that this is one of the first things that the Lord Jesus does after his resurrection. His institution of the giving out freely of the forgiveness of sins testifies to the importance of this work for his church. Now, of course, Thomas was not present, not in attendance at that first meeting with the Lord Jesus. So Jesus must go through all of those words and that institution yet again. But he does, for the sake of Thomas and for his church. Sins are not forgiven by proxy, nor is anyone called into Christian faith and repentance without having heard that word of Christ. Thomas sees the risen Lord Jesus with his own eyes, touches him with his own hands, and thus is authorized by Jesus to bear witness to the risen Christ and to announce the forgiveness of sins to all who are in this world. That remains the chief work of Christ's church on earth, to freely give out the grace of God in Christ, which has been achieved for us all through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In him and in him alone are your sins forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, atoned heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name, sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Lord, truly blessed is he, comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death, and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the post-communion hymn. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. Special thank you to Miss Caitlin Oakes for her singing here this morning as our soloist, also to Mr. Williams playing on the organ, and for all of our musicians who participated last Sunday. Didn't get to thank them due to our processional and recessional, but glad that they were able to be here and to give their talents that exposure for us here at St. John. We are truly blessed in celebration of our Lord's resurrection. You may take Easter lilies home with you following the service. That would benefit us here well and your homes also, so feel free to take those with you. We do have our confirmation questioning taking place here in the sanctuary during our Bible class hour. So the adult Bible class will not meet, but you're invited to join us here if you so desire. Sunday school for the children will take place here as well, and that'll begin in just a few moments in our opening for them. Lastly, voters meeting this afternoon at 1 o'clock for the regular voters of our congregation, so you're welcome to join us for that. There's an LWML lunch coming up this Saturday, and that's available. You can find more information on the lavender color sheet that is in your bulletin, so please make note of that. And there's a spring concert from our day school coming up this Tuesday evening, so you're invited to join us for that here as well. All other announcements you can find printed in the bulletin. We go forth in the name of our Lord, greeting each other in peace.